Last month, the Obama administration launched a campaign to fight one of the country's fastest-growing problems, prescription drug abuse. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there's been a tenfold increase in prescriptions for opiate painkillers like OxyContin since 1990, and during that time, the number of accidental deaths from drug overdose have nearly quintupled. Quintupled. That's a hard word for me to say sometimes. In a growing number of states, unintentional overdoses are the leading cause of accidental death, more than motor vehicle accidents. For today's second backstory segment, we're talking with New York Times reporter Sabrina Tavanisi, and she'll tell us what's behind the epidemic. Hello.
Hi there.
What are some of the drugs we're talking about?
Well, the one that I was focusing on when I was in southern Ohio, in the Appalachian region of southern Ohio, was OxyContin, and that's been produced in the United States, I guess, since about the mid to late 90s.
That's the drug that was associated with Rush Limbaugh's problems in years past?
Yes, I believe so. It was a painkiller intended for terminal cancer patients, and it was used, it was abused. Quickly began to be abused because it was easily crushable and injectable. And the company has since kind of changed the recipe a bit, as I take it, to make it more difficult to abuse. But it was a huge problem in the area that that I visited, and particularly in Appalachia, which has been kind of the ground zero for the prescription drug problem.
It's been reported that prescription drug abuse and addiction is responsible for more deaths than crack in the 1980s and heroin in the 1970s combined. But these drugs are available only by prescription. Isn't that supposed to prevent this kind of problem?
Well, in fact, you know, they're legal to carry around, so they're sort of easier access in a way than heroin or crack would have been. And essentially what was happening in Appalachia was that there were many people in the region who had employment related injuries, kind of disabilities and injuries from work, and many people were getting prescriptions legally, and it wasn't that they weren't intending to abuse, but people did become addicted, and many people, there was an opportunity there to sort of sell prescriptions on down, and so the problem sort of began, when the drug came on the market, soon after the drug came on the market. So it affects a huge number of people. I mean, it's pretty incredible. You go and look at high school yearbooks and ask how many people have died from drug-related overdoses, and it's large portions of graduating high school classes. And in some towns, it's decimated a lot of Appalachia.
In an article you wrote in the New York Times, you wrote about the Mannering family in Portsmouth. That's in Ohio?
That's in Ohio. That's on the Ohio River.
So this is the Appalachian part of Ohio, obviously. Not Cincinnati or Cleveland or Columbus or Akron, one of the bigger cities.
That's correct. I know some of the bigger cities also have the problem, but it really did it did come from Appalachia. I know you can sometimes people have to go very far within Ohio to get prescriptions filled because many of the drugstores in the area that have had the worst problems won't fill prescriptions for OxyContin anymore. So you have people going, as far up to Columbus, even over to Pennsylvania to find a drugstore to get the prescription filled.
So why is it so prevalent in this region in particular?
Well, the explanation, the people sort of guess at why the explanation that was given to me was, again, it's a region that has, that had still a fair number of manufacturing jobs and a lot of work in mines, the coal mines. And a fair amount of work-related injury, and that was, something that people would get pain medicine prescribed for. There were, some of the people who were selling things on to younger kids were people who were vets, people who had legal prescriptions for these things. But then things called pill mills, people refer to them as pill mills, sprung up. Those are kind of pain clinics where you can go and basically get a doctor to give you a prescription, and so that sort of spread the use of this drug. But the people were saying basically that it was because of the work-related injuries that people in the area had, and it's quite economically depressed, as you probably know, and you know, it just kind of caught on in the young population, which, you know, it's some of the families, you know, look much like a family you would think of in, you know, in an inner city in New York, in Chicago in the 1980s, during, you know, with crack. It just is, it's, you know, grandmothers raising children, parents essentially, you know, addicts, and you know, fair amount of drug related violence, and very 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 sad situation.
Well, we talk about Ohio, and then there's Kentucky and West Virginia. Is there less regulation in these states than some of the other states, or are these pain clinics regulated differently than regular doctor's offices?
The pain clinics, the Ohio, in fact, just passed a law that would go a fair ways toward giving the state some tools to regulate and crack down on these pain clinics. So I think that the state sort of belatedly have come around to realizing it's a huge problem and trying to put some legal tools in place to deal with it. I know Maine has had a number of problems. I have a colleague who's written a lot about the OxyContin problem in Maine. But I think that the essentially this was, it was because of you know, how it was because it was because of the work related injuries part, not really that there was a lack of legal protections.
Well, these drugs are legal, so that probably makes it more difficult to prosecute people for abusing them or doctors for prescribing them.
That's correct. There's a pretty complicated process that prosecutors have to go through in order to actually, you know, prosecute and close down a place. And that was, you know, with shrinking budgets and police departments that are getting ever smaller, you know, it's hard to devote the resources required to actually close someone down. The Portsmouth police chief was telling me that he had, I think, three detectives full time on a case for about 6 months in order to close down one clinic in the area. So it's, you know, that's when you have a department of only, you know, 12 people, that's a significant amount of manpower dedicated to, you know, to one pill mill and what, you know, in an area where there are many.
So people are prescribed these medications. Is that where the addiction starts? How do people who are not prescribed them, like the teenagers you write about, get these drugs?
A lot of different ways. You know, it becomes sort of an illegal resale, like any other, you know, illegal drug. So, you know, someone in the beginning has a legal prescription or is given a prescription by a pill mill, but, you know, say the teenager who wants to buy it, there's so many people wanting to sell the pills on you know, it's pretty easy to get your hands on. I mean, one of the people I interviewed said that an acquaintance of his from work, who was a man in his, he was past retirement age, he had a prescription for OxyContin for back pain that he had developed, and he was selling the pills to kids who came and knocked on his front door asking to buy them. So, you know, it's really not that big of a problem to get your hands on the pills.
And you said that people can go across state lines. Florida has had lax rules for overseeing pain clinics. I don't know whether they've been changed, but would people be going to places like Florida to get the pills and then bring them back?
Yeah, Florida was a huge supplier, and in fact, there was a very inexpensive flight from Kentucky or from West Virginia. I think it was a $79 round trip or something to Florida and back. So really, you know, if you had a prescription, you could kind of go down buy a bunch and or even obtain the prescription down there. So that was kind of, it was seen as a pipeline coming up from Florida. And you know, people would drive through with it all the way on up to, you know, to Cleveland in northern Ohio.
Is it possible to buy OxyContin online?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that. Probably, but the most of the folks I was talking to, that was not the way that they were obtaining the pills. The Nina Mannering, the young woman who died. who was the OxyContin addict. Her boyfriend was someone who had a prescription because he was a veteran, so he had a prescription legally, and it was believed that he had been supplying pills to some folks in the area.
Do pharmacies that fill these prescriptions have any responsibility to keep track of how many they're filling and for whom?
They do, and in fact, the pharmacies, it was explained to me that the pharmacies were actually better about not selling and keeping track of who was coming in and buying than many of the doctor's offices were. So there was sort of a tracking system for that, and it wasn't used very aggressively, but it's something that states are also starting to use now to figure out who's getting what where. That requires a lot of cooperation on the part of the states themselves, and that was another problem because you do it in West Virginia, but if Kentucky didn't want to go along with it, then there wasn't much you could do because Kentucky, the borders are all so close right there.
Well, can doctors be prosecuted for overprescribing?
Yes, and a number have been. In fact, one quite recently in the Southern District of Ohio in federal court he has not been sentenced yet, but he was convicted for causing the deaths of people for whom he prescribed painkillers.
Now, what about the drug companies? You mentioned that Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, has changed the way it's delivered. But there were reports in the past that huge orders of certain drugs were going to Mexico and that the pharmaceutical companies had to be aware that they would be smuggled back across the border.
Well, I said there was a lawsuit that in Virginia, I believe, that Purdue Pharma ended up settling. So there has been sort of legal action here and there, and I know the way that the pill was sort of produced and kind of the form it came in had been changed because it was so addictive. But I know a lot of people in the area where I was certainly hold the pharmaceutical company responsible because they say it's just such an addictive pill that if as long as it's not completely regulated to the point where it's only really prescribed for its original purpose, which was terminal cancer patients and within hospital environments as opposed to sort of home care, family clinics type thing.
Sabrina,
we're always going to have this problem.
We have very little time. It's addictive, but 28,000 deaths in 2007 alone. So it also kills people, I guess, because it's an opiate. We can't go into that, but I thank you so much for talking with us, Sabrina Tavernisi of the New York Times. We've been talking about overprescription of OxyContin as a major problem in this country.